Chapter 27. I don't think I've ever seen water this clear, said Reggie, as they paddled along. She was in front, and Shaw was in the rear of the red kayak. He'd changed into long bathing trunks and a loose-fitting t-shirt with a life jacket worn over it. Reggie had on a striped bikini top under her life jacket and a pair of white cotton butt huggers, thin enough for the striped bikini bottom to be visible through them. She had the same Red Sox baseball cap on, only now it was turned backwards.
You're good at this, said Shaw, as he watched her muscled delts work, dipping the paddle in and out of the water.
He'd synchronized his movements with hers, except when he had to use his paddle as a rudder to navigate them around the curves of the river, whose current was deceptively fast. In large masses under the otherwise clear water were bright green and purple vegetation and long strands of what looked like kelp. Shaw felt like he was in a large aquarium.
I like the water. When I lived in Boston, I crewed on the Charles River every chance I got.
He said, Okay, so you're a ringer. Now I don't feel so bad about not being able to keep up with you.
You're doing fine.
He dipped his hand in the water. It was very cold. He was definitely staying in the boat. There were five other kayaks in their party, but Shaw and Reggie had quickly outdistanced all except for one. In that kayak, Whit and Dominic, dressed as tourists and loudly speaking French, were acting out having a go at paddling. While Dominic held a camera and pretended to shoot video of Whit doing something funny, he was able to record about 2 minutes' worth of close-ups of Shaw. They had to stop at various small dams, and the guides helped them transport the kayaks over them. There was one surprise rapid that they easily navigated before ending their river run and climbing in the kayak company's van for transport back to their point of origin. Shaw and Reggie rode near the front, Whit and Dominic in the rear. The van rocked back and forth over winding and rutted dirt roads before they reached asphalt once more. Only once did Reggie glance back and flash Whit a signal by blinking her right eye. He answered by lightly squeezing the bag he was holding. Inside was the gun with Shaw's prints on it. By prearrangement, he'd snagged it out of her car while the others were getting their kayak gear together. They climbed out of the van and into Reggie's red Renault. Shaw had to bend his long torso and legs to awkward degrees to accommodate the small space.
Euro cars are definitely not for tall people, Reggie said sympathetically.
I'll survive.
The drive back to Gord took less than 20 minutes.
You can just head to your villa, he said. I can walk back up to my place.
How about a swim and some lunch first? She said. You're already dressed for it.
He hesitated, mentally going through all that this might entail.
All right, sure.
They parked in front of her villa. Shaw glanced at the entrance to the villa next door.
Don't see the Citroën.
I know. It was gone when I left to pick you up.
Interesting. I saw one of the guys walking through town this morning.
Really? Did you talk to him?
He looked at her strangely. No. He looked pretty tough. Sort of like a mobster.
She unlocked the door, disarmed the security system, and led him into the back. She passed him a towel and some sunblock, pointing to his forearms that were already a bit red from the kayak ride.
Yeah. All those years spent indoors, he lamented.
They went out to the pool area. She slid off her shorts and stepped out of her sneakers while he pulled off his t-shirt and kicked off his sandals. Behind his sunglasses, he took a moment to assess her physical condition and came away impressed. There wasn't an ounce of fat on the woman, and her muscles were lean and defined. Her midsection was a hard pack, her calves as defined as a professional sprinter's.